Can we say it so often, but we say it sincerely. It's just good to get together. So we appreciate your desire to be with us. Don mentioned the announcements. We have so many people away. So I appreciate your being here, especially this morning. But not only just to encourage me, but just to enjoy friendship, fellowship, and to give God our worship as a congregation of His people. There is an outline in the bulletin this morning. If you'd like to follow along, you're very welcome to do so. Titled the lesson, Make Room for a King. We readily recognize this story from the phrase, no room in the inn. And that's going to be one of our themes as we go through these examples in the life of Jesus, where there was no room for Him. And that happened more than one time, but it all started at His birth. But I titled it, Make Room for a King, meaning I want you to alter your schedule, change your plans, prepare a place for King Jesus in your life. That's the idea of make room for a king. It's one of the most familiar stories in the Bible. We've learned about the Lord's cradle from the time we left our cradle. It's interesting that hundreds of years before Jesus was born, prophets told about His coming. It should not have been a surprise about the Lord's coming. Back in Isaiah 7, verse 14, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Call His name Emmanuel. Wow. Hundreds of years. When Matthew records the story of Jesus' birth, he mentions the angel's message to Joseph and reminds Joseph of this prophecy from Isaiah. In Matthew 1, verse 22, and my comments right now are not in your notes, but in Matthew 1, verse 22, the angel said, now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth a son. They shall call His name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. The story continues, then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, took unto him his wife, knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. She called his name Jesus. Micah chapter 5 verse 2 says that he would be born in Bethlehem and from the tribe of Judah. And it's interesting, when the wise men made their journey to the birthplace, Bethlehem, they appeared before Herod and they mentioned this prophecy. It's in Matthew 2 verse 3. Tell us. You know, we've heard, we know that Old Testament prophecy, the Old Testament story about where He would be born. There were other prophecies concerning Jesus. That John the Baptist would prepare the way. That a disciple would betray Him. That there would be 30 pieces of silver in the betrayal. The Old Testament prophecy speaks of potter's field that was purchased with the betrayal money. Isaiah 53 foretells of Jesus' suffering and the trial, the crucifixion. Psalm 24, verse 20 tells us that not a bone would be broken in the crucifixion. And Psalm 16, verse 10 speaks of His resurrection. So there were many, many prophecies, hundreds of years before Jesus came, that foretold of His birth, of His ministry. And all of these prophecies were done by prophets of old at different times and different places, and they all came true exactly as they said. But even with all of this foretelling, Jesus was not always welcomed and He was not always received. And it's those unwelcomed events that I'm giving you in our lesson this morning the unwelcomed events in Jesus' life. Number one, it's our lesson text. From Luke chapter 2, verse 7. There was no room for them in the inn. So at Jesus' birth, kind of sets the stage for what happens during his ministry. Here's the background. In Luke chapter 2, verse 1, comes to pass. Went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. See, in the Roman Empire, there was a periodical census that was taken for a double purpose. One was to tax, and the other was to discover those who were liable for military service. Well, the Jews were exempt from military service, so the purpose for this census and Joseph and Mary making the journey was to register the census to be taxed. Verse 4 and 5 of our lesson text. So Joseph went up from Galilee. Boy, they were quite a ways north of Bethlehem to make this journey, about approximately 60 to 80 miles. So he went up from Galilee out of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed, so he made the journey, with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. So every or each Jew went to their home city because that's where the ancestral records were kept. But what one interest in this account is that Mary went with Joseph. Joseph could have enrolled for her since she was expecting a child. She didn't have to make the journey with him, but she does. And as you know, at that time, there were some, it was crude traveling situations. It wasn't a double-lane highway. No easy stops on the way, for refreshments. Wow, so it wasn't a Holiday Inn or an express. But God had a providential hand in getting them to the right place at the right time. Even the Apostle Paul mentions this in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4. When the fullness of time came, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law. That's right. And so our text read in verse 7, she brought forth her firstborn son. It's interesting in the language, her firstborn. John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Oh, different phrasing. Jesus is God's only begotten son. But Mary, when bringing forth Jesus, is her firstborn. She had other children. Their names are listed in Scripture. In Matthew chapter 13, beginning of verse 53, it says, it came to pass, after Jesus had finished these parables, he departed. And when he came to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished. And then the text in Matthew 13 gives six questions in a series. It says, they were astonished. And these astonished people ask these six questions concerning Jesus. Where did this man get his wisdom and mighty works? Second question is not this the carpenter's son? Third question, is not his mother called Mary? I couldn't believe, this is the man that we know that grew up amongst us, this is the Messiah? Is not his mother called Mary? The next question is, are not his brothers James and Joseph, Simon and Judas? Are not all his sisters with us? Where, and the last question, where did this man get all this? And they took offense at him. So we think about this story, an interesting phrase in verse 7, Mary brought her firstborn. But Jesus is God's only begotten. In the verse 7, she wraps him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger. Verse 7 continues, there was no room for them in the inn. Wow. When our boys were born, great expectation. Of course, we knew approximately the arrival. But we made lots of preparation for them. I prepared a room. Paint, decorate, all this equipment that we thought we'd need for that start. But for Jesus, wait a minute, with all the prophecies, everything else, there's no room. I remember the story of a family who were traveling and they needed a hotel room. But every time they went through this small town, they're going through the small town, and every hotel said, no vacancy, no vacancy, no vacancy. Got to the edge of town, the sign says, you know, no services for the next 80 miles. But the last hotel still said no vacancy, but they said, we've got to try. Maybe they'll have something available. So they stopped and went in. They pleaded with the one at the desk, front desk, and no, we don't have anything, the hotel clerk said. Nothing. So the man pleaded his case, says, you know, if the President of the United States were here right now, you would find a room for him, wouldn't you? Hotel clerk thought for a moment, said, well, yes, if the President of the United States was here, I'd try to find a room. Man said, well, the President's not coming, I'll take his room. No room. No room for Jesus in the inn. Second, just shortly after this, now there's no room in Jerusalem. After his birth, because Herod has some thoughts. In Matthew 2, this is how it's described. When they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. He said, arise, take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt. Stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And so when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, departed into Egypt, was there until the death of Herod, that it might be spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt I've called my son. Well, there's a prophecy in Hosea 11, verse 11. Out of Egypt I called my son. What do you mean he called his son out of Egypt? Ah, this part of the story. There was no room in Jerusalem for Jesus because Herod was seeking to destroy those young children. So they make their flee to Egypt, and Hosea prophesies he would be called out of Egypt. No room in the inn, no room in Jerusalem. Number three, now as an adult, during his public ministry, there's still no room for Jesus. In this, the situation in the country of Gadara, Jesus heals two that were possessed with devils who were coming out of the tombs, and the Bible says they were exceedingly fierce. Well, Jesus cast the devils out into a herd of swine. The swine, as you know the story, ran down a steep place into the sea. The herdsmen, obviously they hear about it, they told the people of the city what had happened. Matthew 8, verse 34. Behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. When they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coasts. No room for Jesus in Gadara. They were more concerned about their swine business than the majesty and the message of Jesus. Jesus, you can't stay here. Number four, no room in Galilee or even in his own country, the synagogues. Remember Matthew 13, the people were astonished at his teaching. They couldn't believe this is the Messiah. They asked the question, isn't this the son of Joseph and Mary? Are not all of his brothers and sisters here with us? They, in the last verse, they were offended in him. So Jesus said to them, prophet is not without honor, except in his own country, his own house. Jesus says, I have honor other places, but not here in my at my home city. And then it says, and he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. It's interesting also in the Gospel of John, chapter 7, verse 5, says, neither did his brothers believe in him. Even Jesus' family. No room for Jesus? How about the house, Jesus? No. Galilee, your home country? No. Synagogue? No. No room. Can't do it. Can't work here. Number 5 is no room in Samaria. Jesus is now ready, having done much of his ministry in the north, you know, that part of Palestine or Judea. He's beginning now to make his journey toward Jerusalem. And in Luke 9, verse 52, he enters into a village of the Samaritans. This simply says, they did not receive him. The story continues, because he did not get a good reception in Samaria, James and John wanted to call down fire from heaven and consume the Samaritans. Jesus said in Luke 9, verse 56, the Son of Man came not to destroy men's lives, but to save them. They went to another village. So Jesus comes to this place, Samaria, city of Samaria. No, they don't want to hear my lesson here. We'll move on. No room for Jesus again. Number 6, no room in the world in his own. In John chapter 1, verse 10, he was in the world was made by him. The world knew him not. Came to his own. His own received him not. Wow, another place. And it all started with no room in the inn. No room in Jerusalem. No room in his ministry. You can't stay here, Jesus. Take your lesson someplace else. Number 7 is no room in the lives of many of his followers. John chapter 6, verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back. Oh, no. You mean some of those that have been following you, Jesus, they're not going to stay? Some of those that have been with you during your ministry, they've heard you teach, they heard you preach, they've listened to your prayers, they've witnessed the miracles, the signs, the wonders, and they're not staying. They have the proof, they have the evidence, and they're not going to remain faithful. Uh-oh. Many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then Jesus said to the 12, will you also go away? Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Great question. If you don't make room for Jesus in your life, to whom will you go? And who are you making room for? Jesus said to these that remained, will you go to whom will we go? And then Peter answers his own question. Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. If you don't make room for King Jesus, who will you make room for that can accomplish what Jesus can? If we don't make room for King Jesus in our life, where else can we go? Jesus said in John 8, verse 30, as he spake these words, many believed on him. Another situation. Many believed, oh, that's good. But then Jesus said to those Jews who believed on him, all right, Jesus, what are you going to say? Here are these Jews that believe. You're going to give them an attaboy, right? You're going to maybe give them some applause? here, these Jews believe on you. So don't say anything that'll discourage them. I want to say, Jesus, you're not going to say anything that'll turn them away, are you? Oh. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We believe, somebody, okay, I believe, that's good enough for me. Thank you. Oh, wait a minute. Let's continue. Bible uses other words like abide. In other words, the lesson this morning is make room, I titled it, make room for a king. Because it all started in Jesus' life right from birth. No room in the inn, no room in Jerusalem. How about your ministry, Jesus? Many places I go, they don't want to hear. They ask me to leave. And we look at some of these stories, and we're, from our perspective, we're looking back and saying, how could they? What were they thinking? But now, bring it home. Is there room for Jesus in your life and mine? There was no room in the religious groups. In Luke 19, verse 47, Jesus taught daily in the temple. But the chief priests, the scribes, and the chief of the people sought to destroy him. No room for Jesus in the temple? Among the religious groups? I think the same is true today in some cases. This situation in the life of Jesus is recorded again in Matthew 15, in verse 1. Jesus came to the scribes, the Pharisees, which were in Jerusalem. And he answered and said to them, why do you transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? Sometimes people think today, oh, if you're religious, you're okay no matter what you believe or what you think. You're religious. That should be okay with God. There's a Greek word for that. Baloney. But that's what people think. I'm religious and therefore I'm okay. Jesus said, no, you're not. You don't have room for me in your life because you're not listening to me. Jesus said in Luke 6, verse 46, why do you call me Lord, but do not the things I say? Just because you're religious doesn't mean you're okay. And so there were religious people, even during Jesus' ministry, that said, we don't want you, and we're going to kill you. We're going to take your life because we hate what you're teaching so much. Jesus is in the temple, with the scribes, with the Pharisees, and they say, we're going to seek to kill you. Same today. There are some religious groups today that will not welcome Jesus because they take for their authority something other than King Jesus. They'll say, you know what determines my religion is what the majority say. They'll say, you know what determines my faith is what the current fad is. Or what this committee has decided. Or my religious group has a council or a convention to determine what I'm supposed to believe. My religion has a single figure that started our religion. And we take what they say. They have another book alongside the Bible that tells us what we should believe. Even in religions today, Jesus is not welcome. Well, they may say he is. But by action and attitude, he's not. We'd rather hear what our council says, or our convention, or our manual, than what King Jesus says. Paul said in 2 Timothy 4, verse 2, told Timothy, preach the word. Preach the word of God. Preach the word. Because the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Now some people, sound doctrine? I don't want to hear sound doctrine. They'll not endure it. Well, what's going to happen if you don't endure sound doctrine? You don't endure the word that is preached. Paul continues. But after their own lusts. Oh, yeah. You know what I like to hear? Oh, yeah. I know what the Bible said, but you know what I would rather hear? And I'm going to go over here because this guy, or this lady nowadays, says what I like to hear. My own lust is for the message that they're saying here. So Jesus, you just stay over there. My own lust takes me over here. They will not endure sound doctrine. After their own lust, they'll heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. They'll turn away their ears from the truth. Uh-oh, that doesn't sound good. And shall be turned to fables. No room for a king. No room for a king. And then the last one I put in is, what about our homes or our personal life? So now let's bring it home. Say, Brian, that's a fine lesson. I didn't know all those times that Jesus wasn't welcome. Wow, that's a really interesting study. But bring it home. Matthew 6, verse 33, Jesus said, King Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God, His righteousness. All these things will be added unto you. Too many put their own interests first, or their own lust. Jesus is getting the leftovers. Second best. Well, if I have time, Jesus, count on me. But I've got priorities. Don't crowd Jesus out with the things we have to do. That's the lesson. So the introduction or the title, Make Room for a Kingdom. We have to make room. Plan. Prepare. Sacrifice. No, it's going to take. But just as when we prepared for the babies in our house, it took some effort. I had to move some things around. Now we have a granddaughter, 1 year old. I tell you about my granddaughter. We had to do it all over again. She has her room. My granddaughter, who we babysit, has a room at our house. Make room. We made room. Make room for a king. Make room. Well, at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation, whichever will may come. Making room for a king is when putting your nose begins with your decision to become a Christian. Not done so already. Simple plan, simple procedure. After you've heard the good news, the word of God, and believe it. Jesus himself said in John 8, verse 24, except you believe that I'm he, you'll die in your sins. I don't want to die in my sins. Jesus also said another step or a procedure in Luke 13, verses 3 and 5, except you repent, you'll perish. I don't want to perish. And then when the story of Philip preaches to the Ethiopian, he preaches a Jesus sermon. And the Ethiopian interrupts him and says, here's water, what hinders me from being baptized, in Acts chapter 8. Philip said, if you believe, you may. Well, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Philip said, stop the chair. And James commanded the chair to stand still right now. They both went down into the water and baptized him. He came out of the water and the Ethiopian goes on his way rejoicing. And I always say it, salvation is always an occasion of joy. Always. We're going to sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation, exhortation. We do this to give you time to reflect on your relationship with God. If you need to make that decision to be baptized, to become a Christian, a member of the New Testament church, just simply come and let that be known at the close of the